The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler, you're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason...
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but thank goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds
different. Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious contenders.
How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown...
Psychosis?
Whatever. He's a great wrestler.
Hello, and welcome to episode 133 of the WrestleCast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. I'm joined, by always, by the SmackDown Matters correspondent, Didi Jonet.
Hey, friend.
Hey, friend. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. We're also joined tonight by the Jarobi of the WrestleCast himself, Magnum Prime. What's up, Greg?
Back again for the first time.
Hey, man. Like you always say, how can we miss you if you won't go away?
Yes, sir.
And our special guest tonight, our first time guest, you may know her on Twitter as Miss J Trella.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the WrestleCast.
Hey, hey, hey.
Glad you could join us. Oh, no problem. Glad you could join us. All right, we're going to let everybody know that you can listen to the WrestleCast, download and subscribe to us at various places. You can listen to us starting at www.csp.us. You can also find us at thewrestlecast.tumblr.com. You can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud as well. And you can also find us on any app where you can download, subscribe, and listen to podcasts. So, Jasmine, since you are a first-time guest here on the WrestleCast, of course, we'd like to get to know you a little bit better. And so we want you to give us your origin story. Basically, you know, some of your favorite wrestlers. Would you grow up watching Attitude Era or newer? Or, you know, who were your favorites? Who were some people you didn't like? Who actually got you into wrestling? And things like that. So the floor is yours.
All righty. Well, I'm Jasmine. And I started watching wrestling when I was like probably 4 or 5. I think I was honestly just randomly turning channels, and I happened to stumble upon it, and I started watching, and kind of been stuck into it ever since. My favorite wrestler has always been The Undertaker, so WrestleMania 33 is still a bit fresh, still a little bit sad, but, you know, we'll eventually get over with it. Of course, it's probably around when I started watching, a little bit before that, but so I was here during that era. Kind of took a break around 2008, then got back into it around 2010, and I've been watching ever since. Probably the only person in my family that likes wrestling like that. My sister used to like it up until Shawn Michaels retired, and then she kind of called it a day. But so it's just me, always that person that gets the weird stares in the store because I have tons of wrestling t-shirts on all the time, and they're like, aren't you a little bit old? But, you know, I don't really care. We watch it. We love it. It's what we do.
Who are some of your current favorites?
Current favorites? AJ Styles, of course. Shinsuke Nakamura. Kenny Omega is probably like my top favorite right now. I like the Young Bucks. I like just a little bit of everybody. I like EC3. Yes, I still watch Impact.
God bless you. God bless you. We need more people like you.
I will be honest. I still watch it. The ROH, probably Christopher Daniels. I like The Kingdom, Marty Scurll. Probably one of my... As far as women's wrestling, of course, anybody that follows me knows that I'm a stan for Naomi. So we don't take that slander here. Naomi, Sasha, Alicia, Charlotte, relationship with Alexa Bliss, but love her a little bit more.
You love her more than you hate her, right?
I don't know. we're kind of in that mid space right now, but I'm starting to love her a little bit more. I love her a little bit more than she took that title off Bailey. So
I was checking off every box up until you got to that one.
Sorry, can't help it. I'm not a Bailey fan. Never have been. Probably never will be.
Wow, that's interesting because you know that's the demographic shooting for with her. It's just like she's all the girls should like Bailey.
I know. You think they should. I don't know. I'm one of those kind of people, like, I've never been, as long as I've watched wrestling, a big kind of, like, I really like heels a lot. And, like, it depends on who it is, and I'll be like, okay, I like this person. This person's cute for a baby face, but the characters, but it depends on who it is sometimes.
You're my kind of gal.
I was about to say, Dee Dee, she's rounding right into a Ladies Night WrestleCast.
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
All right, Jess, so that's awesome. Cool origin stories.
Thank you.
So now we're going to get into a little bit of the news that we had this week. It was reported earlier this week that, one, Jim Ross, he will be back on the WWE airwaves, as he will be back on the WWE Network as the lead announcer for the UK show that is going to be broadcast starting later this summer. Nigel McGuinness will be his analyst. So they're going to get JR to work here as he will be doing the shows from the remote of Stamford, Connecticut, as they have already taped the UK series of shows. And him and Nigel will be doing the voiceover work here in the next couple of weeks once they edit the product down. And hopefully we'll get to see the finished product, hopefully in July, I guess, or maybe even June. So look out for that. And our second bit of news is that Dave Bautista has the number one movie in the country, or in the whole world, actually, as Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 made $145 million here in the United States. And he has established himself as the second biggest movie starling, as he still has a ways to catch The Rock. But, I mean, he's done pretty well for himself. I mean, Dee Dee, did you ever think that Dave Bautista would be, like, a movie star?
Not ever.
Like, do you ever see it for Bautista?
I liked him, but I was more like, oh, he's kind of sort of from DC. Like, that's why I liked him, not because I thought he would ever have a job outside of the WWE.
Right, right. Yeah, he kind of took a gamble on himself. He started taking some acting classes, and then when he kind of didn't like the direction things were going, he just kind of said, okay, I'm not going to have to sign my contract, and I'm out. And he went and got into a movie that nobody thought was going to be anything, and it turned out to be like a sleeper hit. And now he's been in James Bond movies, and now he's a part of the Marvel franchise. He's going to be in an Avengers movie. He's going to be in the new Blade Runner movie. He was in a movie with Robert De Niro that came out earlier this year. So he's like really doing it.
Wow.
Yeah. For sure, for sure. So, G, what was your most memorable Bautista moment?
Probably out of that I Quit match with Cena. That was probably like the most memorable. Him next night on Raw. I think that's probably where he gave his greatest performance. But match-wise, it would have to be him and the Taker at Mania, though. That was probably his best work in the ring.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jazz, your best memory of Dave Bautista?
Oh, let's see. Probably the moment when he turned on Evolution probably is my favorite. Because I was just like sitting there watching and I'm like, oh, is he going to stay? Is he going to go? And then he gave him the thumbs down and I was like, oh, snap, he's leaving. And it was, I don't know, that's just probably my favorite moment. And then, of course, like Greg said, the match with Taker was probably one of his best matches in since he was there, so. But of course, I'm biased. Anybody who has a match with Taker is pretty much, oh. You know, that's good, see? But, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty much going to be mine as well, when he finally decided to turn on Evolution and the match that he had with Triple H. That was kind of my biggest one. Full disclosure, Mama De Laurentiis, that's next to Stone Cold. That's her favorite wrestler is Dave Bautista. And so when he came to have that little run a couple of years, she was so excited. But the business wasn't right, and he wasn't really thrilled with what they were doing with him. and the ideas that he was proposing. So he kind of has a sour relationship right now with the WWE. So
he's going to be their loss.
Yeah, it's going to be their loss because he's blowing up in the world. So look out for Dave Bautista in Blade Runner, the remake of Blade Runner with Harrison Ford later this year, too. So place, man. Good for him. The Rock might be your president, as he said he might run for president. Hey, man, stranger things have happened. Rock would be a good president. I mean, can you imagine those debates? I mean, nobody would out-talk him. As long as his facts were straight, I mean,
wait a minute, charisma and all that. Facts don't matter. It's the whole facts, man.
Exactly.
It's alternative. This is alternative facts and fake news, right?
Exactly.
He'll be huge as president.
So what was huge was Monday Night Raw this week was in London, England. You got accent. She doesn't have an accent for me.
Who?
You.
I'm sorry, you cut out. I didn't hear you.
Oh, so did you have an accent for me?
I'm not Jade. I can't really give you that European continent that you're really looking for.
Sorry. Okay.
Sorry.
Well, we're going to start with Dean Ambrose. Starts the show, does an in-ring promo. He says that Angle couldn't make the trip, and that Angle has named Dean the acting GM. This brings Miz out. He takes offense to Dean being in charge and tries to tell Miz that, you know, Dean then tries to tell Miz that he's in a match. But the Miz cuts him off and says that he talked to Stephanie and she made Miz the co-acting GM. So we've got dueling GMs tonight on Monday Night Raw. Pretty fun. Haven't had this in a while. So they talk trash to each other back and forth. Dean wants to get along and he wants Miz to shake his hand when Ron comes out. He says as long as he's not done with it. Braun then says once he's done with Roman, he wants Brock Lesnar. Kalisto comes out. Kalisto wants a match with Braun tonight. And Braun says that he could beat Kalisto with one arm tied behind his back. And Dean makes the match for later. And then Dean makes a match between The Miz and Finn Balor. Now, what's noteworthy is when Braun came out, he did have his arm.
Oh.
As he is suffering through a real-life elbow injury right now, so he will be having surgery and will be out for about a month and a half. So, Finn Balor versus The Miz. Maurice gets up on the apron to distract the ref, which leads to The Miz running and Finn into the ref. Miz Mike and tells the ref to DQ Finn for putting his hands on an official. Dean comes out and makes the match a no DQ and sends Maurice to the back and restarts the match. Finn attacks Miz on the ramp, gets him back in the ring. Finn hits Miz with the sling blade, shotgun drop kick, then the ultimate Kevin Sullivan foot stomp, and Finn Balor gets the win. So, Dee Dee, if you want to, you can take a nice small shot because that was a semi-distraction. Finish.
All distractions matter.
That's right. That's right. Okay. So, what y'all think of Brian versus The Miz?
Sure.
Did you like it? Did you like the intro?
Remember.
Oh yes, I remember. Jazz, we'll start with you. Are you a fan of The Miz? We'll start there.
Miz, I love what they're doing with him right now. But give me 6 months ago, I probably would not have said this. But I'm in that space to where I'm ready for Miz to be world champion again. And I know we're probably going to have to wait a while because they took him off the perfect show for him to be able to do that. You know, with him being on Raw, in the sense of obviously the Intercontinental title is the main title on Raw at the current moment because the Universal title is being held hostage, I don't necessarily mind him being the Intercontinental champion again. I'm here for it. As long as it's not Dean Ambrose for much longer, I can't really complain. I love The Miz. I just wish Maurice would wrestle a little bit more, but you know, that's just my personal opinion. But I'm here for The Miz, and I think this feud, if they do it a little bit different than what they've couple times they feuded, then it could be one of their better ones, but we'll have to see how they plan to book Dean Ambrose, because he's been very bland here for a while now, so. But that's just my opinion on the situation.
Yeah, that seems to be everybody's synopsis right now, is that they're just ready for anybody but Dean Ambrose to have that title, and so, yeah, it seems like The Miz is gaining momentum here on Raw. They kind of were spinning their wheels with him the first couple of weeks, but they seem to have kind of gotten it together the last couple of weeks here, giving them time to talk and bump around the microphone. So we'll see where they go from here. But we get Alexa Bliss backstage when she's approached by Nia. Nia wants a title match. Alexa says she doesn't make the matches, but she'll just have to talk to Kurt Angle because, you know, they're kind of tight. Nia says that until their match, Alexa has a new best friend. And so I guess she's going to kind of be watching Alexa Bliss's back. Can never have too much muscle, especially when you're the 5 feet of fury that Alexa Bliss is. And everybody be gunning for you because they want to be where you're at. Gee, do they have enough to make a real live HBK Diesel type of remake with these two?
I think they do, but I'm still in that camp where I don't think like Nia is really ready. Like she probably should have spent some more time in NXT because she damn sure near killed Charlotte on her way out of Raw. So, but I think there could be something there. But if you slot her into that position, you kind of undermine her character because you really can't take her seriously if you put her in that Diesel / heater role. But they probably will lean toward doing it.
Right, right. Or Alexa keep throwing a roadblock to make the match not happen. So she kind of has to, like, how many times is she going to screw her before Nia finally just on her? And then it'll make Nia a face, and she can be real big and mean. So they might accomplish, like, two or three things at one time later down the road.
That could lead to some nice comedy. I don't know as far as, like, you know, good ring action. But what happened to Bayley? She just got just totally cast to the side. Like, it's not about her anymore at all. It's not about the chase or anything and getting the title back.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
I think that's not a Vince thing, man. I think Raw is still Vince's baby, and if he don't, he just ain't never see it for Bayley. I don't think he ever got it. Because they did everything wrong in how to work her character. I mean, she shouldn't have won the title until either WrestleMania or San Jose. Like, she just got her first title match at WrestleMania, lost, and somehow got a rematch at San Jose and won, or match at WrestleMania, won, then won again at the rematch. I mean, different ways they could have played it, and they didn't do any of those things to kind of keep her character where it was, like in NXT, where she's the underdog and always fighting.
That's for sure. But Vince does, he likes to have a baby face normally, you know, with the title, unless it's like a Bella twin, you know. So, and Bayley, she does seem kind of perfect. It's, I mean, so does Shasta. Like, they're gonna move merchandise for you too. I really don't know what Alexa's gonna do. She might move merchandise with the guys who like her, but she's not gonna catch that female audience, I don't think. But what do the ladies here think?
Maybe the shorter women.
Okay, I had not thought about that.
Yep, the people who are in the midget club will probably be lining up to buy her shirts, and people who Suicide Squad and want to be Harley Quinn and buy her shirts and things of that nature. But I don't think, like, you know, my age or taller than 5 feet guys who always are here for Alexa Bliss. I mean, she's beautiful, and, you know, for a little white girl, she got a dump. I'm here for it. But, you know, we'll just have to see. You know, maybe she needs just a little bit more character development, and then maybe just a smidgen, clean up her ring work, and kind of on the love-hate with her right now. But we'll see, I guess.
I think how she's over with Vince is she has the microphone skills to carry those talking segments better than anybody else right now on Raw. And I think that's what's getting, and she has entertainment. Like, she has the facials and she has the little subtleties. Like, you know, when the crowd was doing the what chant, she kind of shut them down. So I think that's kind of what is getting Vince's attention is that, okay, she's the best talker. She can carry out these segments the best, then she deserves to have the title and have to focus on her.
Yeah.
So we get a match between Alexa Bliss and Mickie James. Dee Dee, Nia distracts Mickie from going to the top, but Nia gets taken out by Bayley, who does a crossbody off the steps. Alexa gives Mickie a hard right hand. He falls off the top rope, and Alexa gets the win. After Masked, Alexa attacks Mickey until Bayley chases Alexa back. Then Nia slips in the ring and gives Mickey a big splash in the corner and leaves Mickey James for dead. Impressive by Nia. G, did she look menacing enough for you right there, G?
I mean, menacing is not the part. It's just like, did she understand that she's working and this is not, you know, real? It's like, you know, she need to kind of rein in sometime. You know, you don't want to, you know, hurt your opponent for a shoot.
She's laying her
shit. Sure, though? Maybe you were, you know, sell it a little bit better.
Laying her shit in.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I had no problem with what I saw for Monday. You know, that's okay. But, you know, as long as she's not treating them like she did Charlotte. I don't know, maybe Charlotte owed her some money or something. I don't know. But she damn near killed her twice. So if she continues to improve, that'll be one thing they see a lot in her. I understand that. But she's going to have to develop her in-ring as well as her mic skills. So, you know, she's a work in progress.
She's a lot safer than Hideo and Tommy, I'm sure.
Oh, man. Oh, we ain't have to go there.
If you saw NXT this week, you'll know why I went there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, in the back, Miz gets even with Dean and puts him in a match against Bray Wyatt. So Seth Rollins. And then that gets interrupted by Seth Rollins, who jumps in and they have a big old brawl in the back. That was pretty good. That was a good promo by Samoa Joe, and then that's actually some good action by Seth Rollins. And they should have just left it right there. But WWE, of course, could not. So then we get Braun versus Kalisto. Braun says he's not going to accept the match because he's hurt. Dan kicks Kalisto and begins to beat him down when Roman's music hits. Roman and Braun brawl. They're going after each other's injuries. Roman gets the best of things when he uses a chair on Braun's back, shoulder, and elbow, and Braun has to retreat. He actually hit Braun in the head with a kind of nasty chair shot, too. Very heel-like. Dee Dee, what'd you think?
I enjoyed it. Just because they were so angry. And, you know, I like it when the Caucasians are angry. Because in Trump's America, I take what I can get.
Poor Kalisto here, right?
Listen, I don't want to be sizist, but you had to know what was going to happen when your 130-pound ass came to the ring. Like, who'd you think you were? You are not Sin Cara. This is not the back.
Jasmine, have you been enjoying the Braun Strowman Roman Reigns program?
kind of, not really. Like, I don't know. There's some points to where I'm like, I like how Braun has kind of grown from this. Because at first it was kind of like, oh, okay, you know. And now I'm actually like, I find myself, whenever he comes out, I don't put my TV on mute anymore. I kind of listen to what he has to say. So I kind of like that aspect of it. But I'm point where I'm like, okay, they both need to split and go on to somebody else because it's starting to get a little bit repetitive. But I don't know. I'm split on it. It's okay sometimes. Other times I pick careless.
All right. Greg, got any thoughts or words on this little segment right here?
I mean, it was, you know, old school way of, you know, having someone to go away for a while. You know, you need to take care of yourself. Get the surgery done. So, you know, I'm always there for the old school type of production. But I mean, I have enjoyed Braun's work as of late. The whole rivalry between him and Reigns, it's kind of been so-so. I felt like, you know, it didn't really make Braun look as good as it could. At least the actual matches didn't. But the backstage stuff was pretty cool. I mean, he lifted up an ambulance. But to have him do that, he shouldn't. You can't lose if you have a guy who does that. It doesn't make any sense. Like that Jim Cornette school of booking. Like, you show like he's a world beater, but, you know, now you're going to punk him like that. But anyway, I rambled on too long. You guys go to the next match. It's already 3 hours we got to cover.
All right, next we get at what sleep those favorite wrestler, Goldust. He's in the locker room trying to inspire our team turmoil match for the number one contender spot in the tag team titles. So now we're going to roll into our tag team turmoil match. So we start off with Enzo and Cass versus Sheamus and Cesaro. Cesaro makes Enzo tap to the sharpshooter, and Enzo and Cass are eliminated. So next up, we have Heath Slater and Rhino come out to face Cesaro and Sheamus. Sheamus hits Slater with a kick to eliminate Rhino and Slater. Next up are the Good Brothers. Sheamus and Cesaro defeat the Good Brothers. So the last team to face off with are the Golden Truth. The Golden Truth come in fresh. Cesaro and Sheamus have already wrestled their third match, so they're a little bit winded. So they come in like a house of fire. But R-Truth misses a splash and then gets rolled up by Cesaro, and Sheamus and Cesaro are the new number one contenders. Sheamus and Cesaro continue to beat up the Golden Truth when the Hardys make the save, and of course, Sheamus and Cesaro bail out of the ring. So I know, Dee Dee, you're happy because anybody but the Goobs got the number one contender spot.
Mm-hmm.
I was sad to see Heath Slater and Rhino get eliminated because maybe they were going to be like the first team to win the Raw and SmackDown tag team titles. So that would have been like a cool little story. And plus, anytime we can see Rhino with his cheese whiz is a plus.
That damn cheese whiz.
So, we're about to heal Sheamus and Cesaro. Is this something that shoots you down after 2 weeks? Has it grown on you yet?
I like Sheamus and Cesaro as a team a little bit. Going into the match, I was all the way here. I'm sorry, I was here for Carl. And, you know, I wanted the Good Brothers to win, but I like them a little bit now. Like, I feel like, I don't know, towards the end of the match, I really wanted the Golden Truth to win. Like, I kind of wish they would have pulled off that kind of, like, surprise, kind of like, oh, snap, they really just won. Kind of like what they did on SmackDown with Thunder and whatever. Like, I figured that would have been cool. Like, they could have had them win, and then by some reason, Sheamus and Cesaro could beat them down, and then eventually they still would end up being number one contenders anyway. So I thought it would have been cute if they would have did it that way, but all right, I'm here for the Hardys and Sheamus and Cesaro. So,
all right, G, what do you think about the heel Sheamus and Cesaro?
They've done good work as of late, I must say, and they were, I think, the appropriate opponents to continue on. And I was really surprised when they met going into it. I didn't think I was going to like how it played out, but it was really entertaining. The crowd was seemed to really be hot for the Golden Truth, so I was digging it. I knew it was no way in hell they were going to win it. I was digging what I was watching, so it was cool.
All right. So next up, we get a match that was made because of the brawl in the back earlier. We get Seth Rollins versus Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe gets DQ'd when he runs Seth Rollins into the exposed steel of the turnbuckle that Seth Rollins pulled off when he was trying to pick him up. Yeah, he was trying to get free of Samoa Joe's clutches, and he grabbed the turnbuckle and accidentally pulled it off. So, good as Greg said earlier, good old school in match that probably shouldn't even been on TV in the first place. So they got out of it, giving away. But they still went like 15 minutes, which is probably too long of a match. That's high quality. Need to save the good stuff for pay-per-view, but that's just me. So, Jazz, are you a CrossFit Jesus?
A little bit.
The
Not
new
as
and,
much as I used to be.
The new and improved Woke Rollins.
Woke Rollins.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins is Seth Rollins. It's kind of hard to hate him, but he's kind of in a weird space too right now, so some days I like it, and some days I put the TV on mute. So,
so you're not a fan of the promo right now of some of the guys?
I think at the moment I'm just not really. I haven't really been feeling Raw here lately. The majority of the show is spent on mute, but I'm recording it. I have a DVR, so I kind of watch it back the next day. But you know. It's just, it's people. It's certain people I watch it for, and other segments I kind of just zone out and do something else. I think
now,
it's the state of Raw right now.
With you having such a love for TNA, And how do you feel that they've done with Samoa Joe so far?
I think I liked him as of right now, this current spot, I liked him better in NXT. But I think that they're getting there. Like, he didn't really do anything at Mania, not too much prior. I kind of like the idea that everybody was talking about when it was supposed to be him and Kevin Owens and Triple H in this kind of stable thing. I kind of wish they would have went forward with that. But, I mean, I think that only time will tell on the main roster with him. So he has all the tools that he needs to be great. It just depends on how they choose to book him.
All right, all right. G, why do they keep giving us matches like this on Raw? We don't need it. They could have just let like Seth Rollins beat up some jobber.
I asked that same question, man. I mean, but this is what's gonna happen. We have 3 hours to fill. So, but yeah, it was a real major letdown to see it. But it's just one of those things. That's just the cost of doing business, as they say.
Yeah. I mean, I thought the interview and then Seth Rollins jumping them and then them just having a pull. I thought that was perfect. Didn't need to have any more interaction for the rest of the night. That just did enough right there. But like I said, they always give us just a little bit too much. Yep. So next match, we had Jack Gallagher versus TJP, because he's not going by his old name anymore. They're making sure that we call him TJP. Didi, what's your gimmick?
I am a grown-ass woman, dog.
Right. Yes. TJP reverses Gallagher's roll-up into one of his own, and he pulls the tights, and he gets the win. TJP attacks Gallagher, puts him in the knee bar. He's coming out wearing a knee brace, but he makes the save, then runs away TJP and helps Gallagher out. Thoughts, questions, concerns? Neville on commentary? Do you like his? Do you like him on commentary?
I thought he was pretty good. It works, I guess.
Are you an evil?
Go ahead, sorry.
Sorry, are you an evil elf fan?
A little bit.
Jack Gallagher, even though he's losing a lot, he's having some really good matches. Too bad he's losing a lot.
It's true. Do you think they'll move him to the European show once it starts?
I don't know. He's a very interesting guy because, I mean, he fits everywhere. He fits on Raw. He fits on that show. He fits in NXT. So, I mean, he can kind of – I think he'll just kind of move around to a – he'll just kind of use him as they see fit. He's kind of like a utility player. Because I think it'll be kind of to his detriment if he gets just into the UK show, because I don't think those guys are going to have the chance to move around like he would now. Like, he's been – like, in like last week, he wrestled on NXT, he wrestled on the pay-per-view, and he wrestled on Raw.
Yeah.
So.
I guess we'll see how that goes.
All right, we got the Boss Bay, Sasha Banks – versus Alicia Fox. Before we get into the results of the match, Fashion Cast, we've checked for Alicia Fox. what was the grade, ladies?
It was a lot of it, but I don't know that I'm qualified. Listen, it was just a lot of weave.
She did.
Jasmine, do you have an
extra? But compared to what her hair usually looks like, I'm going to give this a solid B+ for Alicia. And then, yeah. We're talking about Alicia's hair or Sasha, because both of them can be tragic sometimes.
We were just saying. Talking about Alicia. You know, you added in a little tidbit on the Boss Bay, too. So, hey, that's what the Fashion Cast moment is for. All right. Sasha gets the win after she hits the double knees from the top rope onto Alicia. And that was pretty refreshing, as it shows that that could actually be like a viable finisher. Something other than the bank statement to get the win.
Yeah, that matters.
Yeah, so.
Gotta have more than one way to win.
Right. Mm-hmm. They were going at it pretty stiff here. I thought for a second there, I was worried about their safety, because I know that, you know, Alicia Fox is kind of dangerous in the ring. And we know that Sasha does tend to break a little easy. So I was like, oh, this might not be a good matchup. But they got through it nonetheless unscathed. So kudos to those two ladies. Next, we get our main event. The Eater of Worlds, Bray Wyatt versus Dean Ambrose. Miz has Dean in the back with the IC title. Bray pins Dean after he gives him the Sister Abigail. Miz then gives Dean the post-match beat, and he cuts a promo. And that is how your Monday Night Raw ends.
Yay.
So, G-Money. Is Bray Wyatt gaining traction? Are they going to make a Wyatt family? Is he stronger? Put me like this. Is he a better character by himself, or does he need the extra guys around him to make the character?
Okay, I hate to answer questions with another question.
Okay,
but is there a difference? I mean, he's pretty much he's the same guy. He's gonna get mic time either way. He's gonna talk about nonsense. People are gonna put their phones up. He's going to lose most of the time. Pretty much the same, right?
Yeah, I guess. We got to do something about that losing part, though.
Yeah, well, you know what? It doesn't help that he's on the same show with Ambrose, because we've seen that before.
Right.
So why are you putting them together again? Like, he should be doing something fresh. They tease him in Balor. That's what he should be doing. He shouldn't be going back and reminding us what happened with Ambrose.
Mm-hmm. But see, this is again where I think, for the sake of, you have to have Star versus Star because it's Monday Night Raw. This is where you could have had Bray Wyatt just destroy somebody and cut out one of those weeping, whining promos on Dean Ambrose, and it would have done the same thing.
Yeah, that's true. But he's got to get some more victories for people to take him seriously, though.
That's why he needs to be beating up some jobbers or some, some like C-level NXT. It's like, have Hoey and Jose come out, get the crowd going, and then lose to Bray Wyatt.
Maybe so. Something. You made it brawn, so maybe that would work.
I mean, I'm just saying Jose, no way Jose, because he's a kind of bigger guy in stature. He looks the part. He's got a fun thing, so the crowd will kind of be behind it. It's not hard to kind of get behind what he's going to come out there doing and just beat him. And then, he gains experience. Bray Wyatt gets over. It's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, but he also has to beat people who matter.
True.
That's how he really gets over. He can beat all the, all the jobbers you want to throw at him, but he's got to get some sort of signature win to say, okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, I thought he was going to be the one who was going to be dubbed. They said no on that one.
Yeah.
So that was Monday Night Raw from London, England. How many gummy bears you got, Dee Dee?
Oh, maybe like 5.
Yeah, this was a rather weak one. This week it didn't have any pop to it for it to be like London, where you figured the crowd would be crazy. And
all I remember like standing out was, like they did sing the Bailey song, and normally London is like obnoxious, so they were very like toned down for London.
Right. Maybe it was just like Jazz was saying, maybe it's just the product that they're having to watch more than the crowd itself.
Maybe. It's possible. Probable. That's likely.
All right.
Last week, your coronation, you were running on everybody in the women's locker room but me. Why?
I talked about so many people last week. I don't even know what you're talking about. I've got a match with Mickey to prepare for, and I just...
Look, I don't want to hear it. Did you mean what you said? That I'm great?
I mean, of course I meant that. I mean, you were great. I mean, what would I get out of lying to you? Come on.
Well, I guess if you meant it, then when you're finished with Bailey, I get the next opportunity.
Nia, look, Nobody deserves a title opportunity more than you do. I get that. And I would love to give you that match. I would. I really would. Problem is I don't make matches. Kurt Angle makes matches. And he's not here right now. Best I can do, though, when he comes back, I can go talk to him, and we'll work something out.
All right. Until you do, looks like you just got yourself a new best friend. Let's go.
Looks like I did.
So let's get into a show that gets everybody's attention every week. Hash the tag. SmackDown Matters.
Because what? It matters.
It matters.
I was going to make a Jericho joke, but it wasn't funny. Oh, and we're still doing the I'm drinking game, so have fun with that. Don't die. Drink responsibly. Have fun. The show starts. We're still in London. We're still at the O2 Arena. Randy Orton kicks things off. He says he lost that payback because of gender, not because of Bray Wyatt or the fridge. He was interrupted by Jinder and the Singh brothers. Jinder said he would win the title and showed the promotional pictures he took posing with the belt. So he's like already prepared. He said he's going to take the title back to his people, wear it at the Taj Mahal, and India will erect a statue of him. I doubt it, but, you know, it's possible. I don't know what they do in India. He's about to speak in Punjabi, because racism. And he gets interrupted by Kevin Owens, who, you know, we love Kevin Owens. He says nobody cares about the House of Horrors, Jinder Mahal, or India. And the crowd's like, yeah, because, you know, racist. And then he's like, oh, hey, nobody cares about England either. Get yourself together. And he talks about what he did to Chris Jericho, and the crowd boos. He said Jericho didn't even last 2 hours on SmackDown, and he's going to end AJ's career at Backlash. He warned Jinder and Orton that he was coming after the WWE title because he wants to be the face of WWE. The crowd chanted for AJ, so Owens repeated, blah, 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 blah. And then he said it in French, because, you know, things. Then AJ interrupts. He says Jericho is no AJ Styles, and, you know, the crowd, we're Jericho-holics. We drink it in, man, so we don't like that. And then he said Owens would never be the face of SmackDown because I'm the fucking face of SmackDown. And I don't mean AJ. I mean me. Thank you. So then Baron comes out, and he's almost immediately attacked from behind by Sammy because he's with the shits tonight. Yeah. And that's what happens. And, you know, when you do things like that, the inevitable happens. The inevitable being a six-man tag match for later that night. But anyway, next is Natty versus Becky Lynch. Natty and her crew of bad folk come out by the name of Tamina, Carmella, and James Ellsworth, you know, the side chick. And then Becky's got Naomi and Charlotte with her, which I don't trust. So, you know, hey. So Ellsworth and Carmella make fun of the crowd, make fun of their teeth, because that's, you know, that's the joke you make for English people. And Carmella introduces Natty as the best there is, was, and ever will be. Then Nene comes out, and she tells him to make some bloody noise, and introduces Becky. Then Charlotte comes out and says, I don't need no introduction. Who invited you, though? Like, go away. Whatever. Okay, so the match starts. Natty trips on the apron, trips Becky off of the apron, hips a vertical suplex outside of the ring. Then Becky fights out of an abdominal stretch, hits a clothesline, a dropkick, a forearm, a spinning kick, and an exploder suplex, I guess. Then Natty manages to avoid a cover. And as we go on, Becky goes to the top, and Tamina tries to what? Distract her. So Naomi what? Knocks Tamina down because they're not related by marriage or anything. It's fine. Charlotte pulls Naomi away, because, again, don't trust white people. And all of this distracts Becky, and then Natty yanks Becky off the top rope, plants her for the win, and that's that. And then everybody's kind of annoyed with everybody else, except the bad guys, because, you know, they win. How do we feel about it? Do we care? Are there feelings involved?
I like it. I like the six women tag team thing. I'm like you. I don't know where they're going to go with this Charlotte thing. I don't trust it.
Mm-mm, me either. No. Yeah. So backstage, Charlotte blames Nay for Becky's loss and says, there's no excuse for losing. Okay. And then Becky jumps in to break up whatever their argument is. Then Naomi throws the snatch Charlotte ball, and I wish she would. Anyway, Becky tells them they would face Natty, Tamina, and Carmella in a six-woman match at Becky Lash. And it's like, who are you to tell me anything? But they all agree to it, and, you know, whatever. There's a Fashion Files segment, Special London Unit. I didn't see it, but I've heard great things.
Yeah, they're dressed up as Sherlock Holmes and Watson.
Oh, cute.
And they see paint, so they're thinking, like, who says it's like, I haven't worn face paint since 2015. And it ends up being the Ascension. They open a door, and it's the Ascension behind the door. It has been reopened.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, good stuff. Best thing that they've done, creative, has done in like 3 years.
I'm happy for them because I really do like them.
A lot of people like them.
And I want to be able to do the Fandango dance when we go to WrestleMania. Like, I'm ready. Don't steal my moment.
London was definitely doing the Fandango dance.
You know they like a good dance. Next match was Eric Rowan versus Luke Harper, the Battle of the X Wyatts. Or maybe Eric is still a Wyatt. Who knows? I don't know. Anyway, the things, they happen. Eric wins with a spinning slam. There was a distraction from the referee after Eric grabbed his sheet mask, which allowed him to poke Luke in the eye and hit the move. How did you feel about it?
Eric Rowan versus Luke Harper equals creative has nothing for you.
It would really be easy to just be like Battle of the Wyatts. Like, he has unfinished business. Like, it's there. They're just like, eh. Who needs reasons?
And it kind of sucks because, like, Luke Harper had that, like, 3-week run where he was, like, really
popular. You know?
Yeah.
Same. But on to things that matter. Dolph comes out. And he immediately calls the fans hypocrites. He says he's been doing this for 8 years, but it feels like 12. He says he works so hard and he calls himself a movie star. Fans don't give a shit about him. They want Nakamura. And Ziggles is like, listen, he ain't even had a match here yet. So then the crowd chants NXT. Ziggles is like, those sounds are going to be edited out, so have fun with it. And, you know, they weren't. So, ha ha. And so he goes on and on and on and on and on. And the crowd is going, Nakamura, because duh. And then at some point, Ziggles calls him out. And, you know, Nakamura stays ready, so he don't got to get ready. So he came out with the bomb music. So, of course, you have to sing along. And, you know, we're hyped and we're happy. Ziggles is tired of the theatrics, says it's time to put up or shut up. Before he could finish, Nakamura grabbed his mic and told him to shut up. Because, you know, he still had the little mouthpiece in. Because, you know, stay ready. Don't got to get ready. He asks if Ziggles want to see what he can do. And the crowd is like, yeah. He's like, I'm going to show you right now. He took off his jacket. The ref jumps in the ring. Ziggles act like he was on fire, but of course he don't want to. Then he says he's going to expose Nakamura as a fraud at Backlash. Because remember, that's where Nakamura's first fight is supposed to be. Then Ziggles attacks Nakamura, but he comes back with a forearm and some knees. He kicks Ziggles right out of the ring. We're so lit. Ziggles is, you know, Ziggles. And it doesn't matter because Nakamura. Yo. Yeah. He has the best entrance music in the world.
Everybody was like, finally, he did something. He kicked somebody. They was getting a little thirsty.
It's like, just sprinkle it. Just sprinkle.
I was hoping he wasn't going to do anything until Backlash, but
just a little bit is good enough. Like, just so you don't get it twisted. You gotta have a little payoff with the mouthpiece. You know, you gotta do a little bit of stuff.
What do you think about all the advertisement being about him for Backlash?
Duh. Who else is at Backlash? Oh, that's right. Nobody cares.
So, Jay, are you excited to see Dolph take an ass whooping?
Yeah, always. Especially when it's given out by Nakamura. I'm here for it. I am beyond ready. Hurry up, Backlash. It's about that time.
It really has been 12 years for Dolph Ziggler. He was like kind of ribbon on the square. Because, you know, Spirit Squad and the Caddy and all that type of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you know. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You just forget that how long he's actually been a part of the system.
Well, you know who has not forgotten? That would be his accountant. He still cashing them checks. Okay, no matter how his career might be maligned by people, love him or hate him, he's still cashing the checks. And I respect that.
I ain't mad at it. Get that money.
That's the Kurt Hawkins for everything.
But yeah. I got that check, though.
And that is a fact of life.
Hey, listen. But that check, though. I tell you, having a check makes a lot of things more easy. Just be like, well, how much that check say? All right, well.
Yeah, you can grin and bear a few more things.
When a check is right, a blessing. Right. Won't he will.
Before you act the fool, secure the bag first.
Okay, Yandy, secure the bag. When Yandy said, I secure the bag, I was like, there is no bag. He's in jail, girl. What are you securing? That's old level hip hop. We on Atlanta now. Actually, yeah. We about to be on Miami here the way they tell it. That's okay. Oh, wait, my notes disappeared. In all full disclosure, I didn't see SmackDown this week. I was drinking alcohol. So.
Oh, Sami Zayn starts having an over in the top intense strategy session with AJ and Randy. You know, he does the thing where, you know, the Sami Zayn thing.
Aww. You know. They don't got to treat him like a redheaded stepchild all the time. See, they don't really treat gingers very nicely in the WWE. Have you noticed? I've noticed.
Yes, because
you have. Unless you're the Undertaker.
Even still,
they dyed his hair black.
See, exactly. Ginger, he knew. He knew how they would treat him if he showed his real self.
Yeah.
Because his hair was like carrot orange in the olden days. And they just get it wet so you can't tell too much. But anyway, they treat Sammy like animal. There's another video pack. There's a new video package for the New Day. Because that matters. Breezango fights the Ascension. They dance to Fandango's theme because that's what you do. He picked up the win after a diving leg drop on Victor. The Usos came out afterwards. Congratulate Breezango for getting a couple of wins. Say they're just y'all getting too excited. Calm all down because in 12 days they are getting a beat down.
In how many days?
12.
#12 days.
What's gonna happen 12 days? I wish we could recreate it, but I can't remember all the stuff that they were saying. There was right. Which one was it? Jimmy who was doing the talking and Jay
it's
was
usually
doing
the chunky
days.
One. It's usually the chunky one to do the talk.
Yeah, it was Jimmy. I almost want to say it was Jay, but I have no clue.
He was everyone. One was doing 12 days part. He cracked him because of what the first one was saying. Because he was kind of just going off. He just wasn't like nothing was like adding up to the match anymore. He was just saying stuff. He was like, you know, he was like, your bread is gonna go stale in 12 days.
It was so good though. Yeah. Highly entertaining.
Oh, look at my SmackDown winning. Oh, I have to rewatch it. Or, you know, watch it. For you people who watch Talking Smack, the Ziggles, Mojo, and the Usos were on with Renee and JBL. Backstage, he's giving children a tour. And he tells them a story. Instead of telling them about a man who went undefeated for 15 years, he spoke about a kid who was bullied because he was different. But that kid took it as motivation and went on to become a... Who is he talking about?
Himself.
Himself.
What was so different about him? Oh, because he's like special Caucasian? Okay, anyway. Mojo then shows them his big trophy. See, that's nasty. One of the girls asked if she could touch it. And he said yes. And apparently he spooked her and then she kicked him in the leg and it's all very funny. I don't understand.
You had to be there.
Okay. I'll watch it and see if it makes sense.
I don't understand why it was in the show. It doesn't accomplish anything.
See, I didn't think so. Probably, uh-huh. You know what it is. Probably one of them kids was somebody's child and they were like, put my child on the TV show. You hear me on TV and I got basket to see her on the TV. Bet money. So, there's a Rusev video from social media. It's usually like Instagram, but they don't ever say it's Instagram. I don't know why. He says he hasn't heard from Shane or Daniel since making his demand, and he doesn't like being ignored. He said he's going to get him an answer when he comes to SmackDown next week. Boom. Okay. So, then, this is what, your final match of the night? Yes, your six-man tag. Hinder the Gender, Baron of the Corbins, and Kevin Owens versus Randy Orton, Sami Zayn, the Nerd, God bless him. And AJ. Excuse me. So many things happen. It's just so much. AJ hits a dropkick on Jinder. Owens is beating up Sammy. Sammy starts bleeding from his nose. Oh, shit. My phone has, you know, spam on it, so I can't look at the rest of my notes, so that's awesome.
Oh, Randy hits Owens with an RKO, but he doesn't see Jinder, and Jinder hits Orton with the Cobra Cut Slam, and they get the pin, and the bad guys win.
Yeah, that was much shorter than what I was going to say. Brevity. Work.
Yeah, this was fun. Whole bunch of action. Whole bunch of action.
Yeah, you know, they always do that thing where I get my move and then they get their move. So all that happened. You kind of had to see it. There was a draping DDT, which, you know, Orton loves. It was great stuff.
Got to get his draping DDT in. So, Jazz, are you a big fan of the Jinder Mahal movement?
Yes.
Don't handle Jinder.
But I am here for it, and mainly because, honestly, I'm not here for Mr. All Lives Matter to be champion any longer. When he won at WrestleMania, I was completely upset. So, you know, I guess we'll just wait and hopefully they pull the trigger and make this happen. Which, in a way, I kind of see them doing it because since they're going to India soon, it would make sense to have him be champion, at least up until after that. But maybe they'll make him chase it a little bit longer. But I like it. I like to see where it's going, and I would like to see him win a Backlash, so we'll see how it goes, I guess.
All right. Greg, how do you feel about the push for Jinder? We haven't got your thoughts on it yet.
I think it's a great idea because just follow up on her points. I'm not here for Mr. All Lives Matter from the Lou Orton. I'm not here for that. And, you know, I mean, really, you know, he's been stale since I don't know how long he's been stale. I mean, they should have went with him, you know, back when he had all the vines of him just RKing everybody over social media. But, you know, they didn't want to go that way. Now, you know, go with Jinder. You appeal to this new audience you're trying to get of a billion or so people. Just break it up. You know, you just got a guy coming in. He changed his body somehow. I don't know how.
But nobody works out harder than Jinder Mahal.
Yeah, he's been working out 8 days a week. So, you know, just try something different. Even if it's just for just one, you know, live special, and he has to drop it the next SmackDown. Just something different.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I thought that SmackDown was much better than Raw. Had much more. It was much livelier. Had a great pacing to it. So SmackDown wins again.
Always better than Raw. And then when the New Day come,
and don't forget Lana and her stiff dance moves.
Okay, now that can
we can't
makes,
forget that.
You know, we can, and we should.
I wish I had never seen that.
Ever. You can't unsee it. You can't.
Oh, because
I love the Ice Princess Lana. That was one that actually got me back into really liking wrestling full time was her and Rusev and just how good she was. And then just to have her go from that being like the number one manager and to be like a not so good wrestler and then have like a ballerina gimmick. Oh, man. And they're going to put it on the main roster. It'd be different if they put her in NXT and let her do it for 6 months first to see if it was actually worth something. But they just going to put her out here on the main roster for everybody. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, I,
not a fan. Know,
she can't go back to NXT. Well, she can't go to NXT. That'd be a bit of an insult. Just saying, you've been on the main roster, then they send you back down, you know, unless you're on your way out the door, like all red, everything.
Whoa, you know, now. You, whoa, 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 now.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
You know, I get real sensitive when we talk about the best women's wrestler in the whole division. Come back soon, Eva. Come back soon. Don't let them run you away.
Oh, hey, Lord. You
know, yes. Come back, girl. Yeah,
maybe she'll bring the Shimmer title her. With her when she comes back.
Oh, bring your imaginary title. Yeah.
Yes. I knew DD was going to knock that out of the park. I knew. I set that up for you. That's right over.
I appreciate it. I haven't shaded them in weeks. Can they still follow me?
Probably.
I felt like a whole asshole when I found out they followed me, but they still don't exist. So it's like that's an illusion too. So it's fine.
But something that you can do that does exist is help out the show by following our sponsors and shopping through Amazon through CSPN.us. Click on the website, CSPN.us, bookmark the site. Then you can click on the banner that says Keep the Podcast Free. Click on Amazon. Buy your mom something for Mother's Day. It's coming. It's less than 3 days away. You have to get like next day shipping so you can have it in your possession so you can present it to your mom on Sunday or mail it directly to her. Use her mailing address when you send it so it goes directly to her and you can say, hey, mom, be on the lookout for a box. It's for me. But you can do that through CSPN.us and Amazon. What you do is do your shopping like you normally would on Amazon. If you go to the website first, it'll take you to the portal, and whatever that you buy, a little bit of what you purchase will come back to help keep the podcast free on the network so we can give you the content each and every week here on the WrestleCast. So CSPN and Amazon, do it today. All right, so now we're going to go into 205 Live really quick. They had a couple of matches and a bunch of back and a bunch of just building segments. Show begins with Jack Gallagher coming out to share a pint with Austin Aries for helping him on Monday Night Raw. Aries comes out, he plays to the crowd. Gallagher calls for the beer so they can share a toast. The toast gets interrupted by Neville, who says Gallagher is a parody of an Englishman. Aries Neville out on his DQ win back at Payback. Neville reminds Aries that he's tried twice to take his title and he has failed. TJP then attacks Gallagher and Aries from behind, and Neville joins in. Neville and TJP throw Gallagher into the barricade. Aries returns to fight and sends both Neville and TJP into the barricade. Neville over the announce table. Gallagher sprays TJP in the face with beer and gives TJP his famous headbutt. Aries then tries for the rolling forearm, but Neville ducks out of the ring. Aries and Gallagher then finally have their toast. So, yeah, really good opening segment to 205 Live. The crowd was really hyped. They were chanting Jackie Boy. But biggest thing that Austin Aries did to get on their bad side, though, was when Jack Gallagher offered him the beer. He said that he was more of a red wine guy.
What?
And the crowd kind of booed.
Yeah, that was valid.
Yeah.
He said, and I hate beer, but if Jack Gallagher offers you beer, you drink the beer.
No, he eventually did drink it, but he said that wasn't
No question. Nobody asked you what your preference was. Drink the goddamn beer. Drink the beer.
Do you have a pop, Jazz?
I didn't watch
205 last week. Okay. So. Yeah, it's hit or miss. Some weeks are like worth it. Some weeks are just like, yeah, okay, I've done 4 or 5 hours worth of wrestling already. This, you know, sixth hour is a little bit too much. So we get Rich Swann, Alicia Fox, and Noam Dar. They're all backstage having a talking segment about Alicia Fox and Noam Dar. And Rich Swann basically still caping for his buddy, Cedric Alexander. Next, we get Mustafa Ali versus Tony Nese. After Tony Nese hits a double stomp for a near fall, Ali counters the pump handle slam into a tornado DDT. Ali then hits the imploding 450, and he gets the win. Then backstage, we have Daivari have a little confrontation after Daivari was mad at how his boots were being shined, and Tozawa bumped into him. So they had some words and a little stare down. Then we get a video package that tells us Cedric Alexander is coming back soon. Main event, Tozawa versus the Brian Kendrick. After getting Tozawa counters a slice of bread into a cradle, and Tozawa gets the win. After the match, Kendrick beats down Tozawa, slamming him into the steps, then trapping Tozawa in the steps and stomps away at the steps. So that was your 205 Live for this week. Pretty good. The Mustafa Ali Tony Nese match was really good. Tony Nese could really be a star in the 205 division. If you have it out to people every week, the look, he's got the moves. Promo was pretty decent the times I let him talk. So maybe soon he'll get a put, get a run or a chance to do something meaningful. So good 205 Live. Next up, NXT, we have Aleister Black versus Cesar Boni. Aleister Black hits a jump, then hits Cesar with the black mask to get the win. Yeah, Aleister Black is that new dude. Have you seen Tommy End, a.k.a. Aleister Black, Jasmine?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, he's a boss. What do you think?
I actually really, really like him. I like his work on the indies as well, so seeing his debut at the past TakeOver, I really, really like him in NXT right now. I love the entrance. I love the theme. I think he's great.
Mm-hmm. G-Money, have you got a chance to see Tommy in NXT yet?
Yeah, I have. I've enjoyed his work, although he really makes short work for most of his opponents. So there's not a lot to see in NXT, more so the stuff he's done, you know, outside of that. But I'm predicting that, you know, whenever this guy comes up to one of the main rosters, I mean, he's probably going to just eat Baron Corbin's lunch. And I think he was going to be like that next guy who, you know, maybe could be, you know, a small pale of comparison type to maybe the Undertaker, but Black is going to be that guy who's probably going to even surpass Bray Wyatt in popularity.
Yeah.
I think you can book that right now.
Yeah, he's got money written all over him. I mean, even the simple thing as like his graphics being like upside down, and then like the way he comes out where he's like laying down and then they like lift him up on that like board or whatever.
Yeah.
So everything about what he's doing right now is definitely got star written all over it. We got a highlight package from last week's Women's Battle Royal. They inform us that Ember Moon has suffered a grade one shoulder sprain and is out for 4 to 5 weeks. Ember vows to be better than ever when she comes back. Gee, did you get a chance to see the bump?
I did see it, but initially it didn't look as bad. But I looked at it like a second and third time. I was like, yeah, I could have been a little bit more careful with her. But, I mean, you know, it's not ballet, and there's not an easy way to hit the floor. So, you know, stuff happens.
I think she was supposed to hit the ring post, and she just went well past it.
Yeah, gravity took over.
Right, that's what I was, because she's so small, she's so short that, you know, I guess if she was a couple of inches taller, it wouldn't have been a problem. But because she was so small, and Oscar kind of had bend over when she threw her out, she just missed everything except for the guardrail. Unfortunately,
if she was taller, we might have been talking about a neck though. just saying,
she probably wouldn't have missed the pole. Is what I'm saying, because she like fit perfect. Ropes and that little area right there.
Well, you know, we all want to see her back as soon as possible.
Right. Get well soon, Ember Bay. Next up, we have an announcement that Pete Dunne will face Tyler Bate at TakeOver Chicago for the UK Championship. And then promptly, we get a Pete Dunne video package. Next up, we get a Ruby Riott video package. Then we get Nikki Cross. She does a sit-down interview where she scares away the production crew. And she walks into the camera so you can't see anything. It's all black. And then she says she's going to take everything away from Asuka and take over Chicago. We get a Drew McIntyre promo that gets interrupted by Wesley Blake. Then we have another vignette for the Velveteen Dream, Patrick Clark. DIY is in the ring. They're cutting a promo about how the line starts with them when it comes to getting a shot at the Authors of Pain, and they're still up for their one-on-one rematch for the NXT Tag Team titles. That gets cut short by Riddick Moss and Tino Sabatelli. The two upstarts say the line for the Tag Team titles start behind them. Ciampa says that they cross the line, and then he attacks them. So then we get DIY versus Moss and Sabatelli. After a hard-fought match, DIY hits their super kick and knee combo on Moss to get the win. Out to give DIY the rematch versus the Authors of Pain, and Rico announces that it will be a ladder match. Ellering, Paul Ellering, Authors of Pain come out. Ellering says that the DIY's blood will be on Rico's hands. So, Jazz, let me get your thoughts on what you think about the Authors of Pain and the ladder match. Is that something that you want to see?
I think it could be entertaining. Most of the time, I don't want to see the Authors of Pain because I don't really like them, but I think it could be a good match, so I'll watch it. I'm pretty much watching it for the next two, so I'm not going to doubt it. So we'll see how it pans out when it happens, I guess.
Gee, I don't know if the Authors of Pain are ready for this type of match. It seems a little bit ambitious putting these green over guys in such a match like this where it limits kind of what they can do as far as, you know, being the power team, I guess. They're going to do it.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess we'll have to see what happens. Unless they're doing this as a way to put the titles back on DIY or whatever, but we'll see how it goes. Only way I could see them retaining is if, you know, they just use ladders as weapons, basically.
Yeah, shenanigans.
Beat somebody down with ladders. Yep. Full on heel tactics. Yeah. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, Authors of Pain with ladders, that could be very scary because, I mean, those guys just could legit hurt somebody.
Yeah.
Next up, we get a Cassius Ohno promo where he gets interrupted by seeing Almas, and Ohno challenges Almas next week to a match. Then we get a Tyler Breit video package, and then we get our main event, Hideo Itami versus Roderick Strong, NXT number one contenders match. Strong hits a knee strike for a near fall, and then Itami hits a running kick on Strong. Roddy fights off the GTS, but catches a kick, plus a corner drop kick. Itami drops a knee pad right into, pulls himself right up into the GTS, and Itami gets the pin. This was a pretty brutal GTS. He caught him like full knee to the nose. Lucky he didn't have a broken nose, but he definitely was bleeding. And Itami had some nasty freaking marks on his chest from taking those chops. These guys beat the hell out of each other. Those backbreakers were pretty sick. So good showing by Roderick Strong. They did all that video packaging to only have him lose his next match out. I don't know if that's the most effective way to build somebody, but you know, Hideo Itami going on to face Bobby Roode. Are you excited to see Bobby Roode versus Hideo Itami? Do you think that would be a good match, Jess? Do you think the styles?
I think it has the potential to be a really good match. I think it's kind of fast. But I guess you kind of got to strike when it's hot with him because you never know when he's going to get injured again, sadly. So I see why they're doing it. But it could be good. I love Bobby Roode. And so I think he can pretty much almost have a good match with anybody. And Itami is a pretty good worker, too, when he's not
injuring people. Right.
Yeah, basically. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to be too mean, but yeah. So we'll see. I think we have a pretty decent match to look forward to take over.
All right. Greg, can I get your opinion on what you think about the Patrick Clark, the push for Patrick Clark?
Someone's a Prince fan, huh?
Slash Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah. I mean, hey, whatever works, you know. This is a podcast that likes to shine a light on people of color in the industry. So whatever it takes for him to try to get a fair shot. So we'll see.
Right. I'm excited. Like I said last week, I'm excited for him to get a chance. He debuted a few months ago where he kind of had the rough makings of it. You kind of could see what he was going for. So they yanked him off TV and now they're going to, you know, give it the full treatment. So I can't wait to see him get a bunch of wins under his belt and hopefully do something significant and hopefully one day come up to the main roster. I mean, he's still very young. I think he's like 21 or 22. So he's got a long ways to go in the business, but you know, hopefully everything works out for Patrick Clark. So that was basically your NXT for this week. Pretty good. Bunch of talking segments that led up to some things. Actually, surprisingly, the DIY versus Moss and Sabatelli match was actually pretty competitive. Moss and Sabatelli beat down Ciampa for most of the match. They really, you know, let those guys have a lot in that match. So it wasn't just a total squash. It was pretty competitive. So if you guys go back and check that out. The Hideo Itami Roderick Strong match was really, really good. Not quite great, but definitely really, really good. Definitely a high quality NXT main event. So good stuff from NXT. And that's basically this week in WWE. If anybody has anything else they want to add, I saw possibly the second best match of the year, and nobody's even talking about it. It was from a joint thing between New Japan and RevPro. Mm-hmm. It was Kushida versus Zack Sabre Jr. for the British Heavyweight title.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Tremendous. Tremendous. Just like, I don't think they did three things outside of the ring the whole match. And I think they might have only done about three or four things off the top rope for like a 30-minute match, 25-minute match. It was fantastic.
That's impressive.
Yeah, yeah. It was good. It's the second best match I've seen besides Okada and Omega.
That was a good one. I have to look for it.
Yeah, yeah. if you've got Neon World, it's underneath the shows tab. It's called, I think it's called like, I can't think of the title of it, but it's like black and red background. Mm-hmm. Worth watching. They've got a big 6-man tag where it's the Elite versus Leo Rush, Shane Strickland, and Shane Miller. They also have Takahashi versus Mighty Skrull, which is really good too. So if you're into this British scene, that happened back in April, like April 13th, about a month ago, but I just discovered it like a couple of weekends ago. It's, yeah, high quality match. Zack Sabre Jr. versus Kushida for the British heavyweight title. If you guys can find that, watch it. You will definitely be impressed. Jay, anything that you've been watching, like off the radar? Maybe are you excited for the ROH New Japan pay per view tomorrow?
Yeah, I forgot to about. You just said something about it, but definitely gonna try to remember to tune in.
Yeah, it should be.
I'll probably do it on my phone.
It should be pretty fun. I've got Adam Cole. Adam Cole versus Tanahashi should be pretty cool.
Yeah, that should be really good.
I've got Naito. You got the Young Bucks versus Naito and I think it's Bushi. That should be pretty fun. So yeah, the joint cards at New Japan ROH cards are usually pretty fun. It's their tour, so they've been having different house shows in like Toronto and Ohio and Michigan, and they're having their pay per view in New York on Friday. So that should be lots of fun. So at this point, we'll open it up to shout-outs. So we'll start with our guest, Ms. J. Chilla.
Oh, shout-outs. Okay. Shout-outs to you guys for letting me be on here.
Oh, proud.
That's a shout-out. Also, shout-out to even in the world for probably a good day. But hey, Bernie Joe Danielson, welcome to the world. Yes, congratulations to Bree and Daniel Bryan. And yeah, that's really about it. I don't know anybody else to shout out. So if you follow me on Twitter, hey, shout out to you.
All right. Are you on Twitter? What's your Twitter handle, Jess?
I can't hear you.
I'm sorry, what's your Twitter handle?
Sorry, you cut out. It's at JTrix and the underscore at X underscore JTrix. There you go.
All right. G Money, shout outs.
Okay, well, I would like to, of course, send shouts out to our guest tonight. It was wonderful chopping up with you. And to you two guys who've been holding it down here, Classic, of course, Sam. And I hate to kind of bring things down a little bit, but I like to send shouts out and definitely condolences to People's Critic. He was a guest here. Just saw that his mother passed away. My condolences to him and his entire family. And final shouts out. I'd like to shout out Chick-fil-A. I don't agree with their political views, but they make a really good sandwich. And I'm tired of hearing all this blasphemy and reading all this blasphemy on Twitter to where the Wendy's spicy chicken sandwich is good. It's not. It is an abomination. It tastes like what I would feel it tastes to bite into a cyborg, because it's not natural. Not natural at all. Tastes horrible. Like no human hand has touched it till it enters your mouth. So I don't want to hear that nonsense anymore.
All right, you guys heard it here on the WrestleCast. Dede Jonae, shout-outs.
Oh, man. Shout-out to Mayo, because Mayo always gets shout-outs. Shout-out to Nikki, because it was her birthday, and I was out until 2 in the morning celebrating said birthday. Shout-out to my girl. She taught me how to drink picklebacks, and they're actually good. Like, it's shocking that I liked them.
What's in it?
It's whiskey, and then you take a shot of whiskey, and then you take a shot of pickle juice. It's weird.
Doesn't sound appealing, but okay.
It does not. And I'm only telling you this because her name is Nani, but that's not a real name. That's her nickname. So I get it confused sometimes. But she's like traveling the Eastern Seaboard, essentially, converting her friends and associates on the joys of picklebacks. And I had seen her do this for like weeks, and I was like, really months. And I was like, I'm going to try it. Whenever I see her next, if I'm in a position to try it with her, I'm going to try it with her. So she was here for Nikki's birthday. So we tried it. And I was like, you know, not half bad. Like, legit, I was like, I see why. Like, I see. I get it. I definitely get it. And also, she loves Naomi. She doesn't even really see it for wrestling, but she loves Naomi. So definitely shout out to her. And then shout out to everybody who was at Nikki's birthday party because they were all fun. And who else? Shout out to my day job because I still have one. Won't he do it? What a blessing. a word. Yeah, and then shout out to my mama because Mama's Day is coming up. What? Get your gifts on Amazon.com, people. So yeah, those are my shout outs.
All right. I'd like to give a shout out to Jay for being able to join us tonight. Thank you very much. I'd like to give a shout out, of course, to G for being able to join us. Always great when he can stop by the WrestleCast and give us his thoughts. DD, of course, my writer, down with me every week. Sam and they out there. Hopefully we'll get to hear from you next week. Give a big shout out to Classic, who's going to put together the parting promo, make it sound great. Production. Everybody on the network, of course, putting out the content. Crown and Collier's Bad Advice Show, Gridiron Gals, Siege. Also, I'd like to give a big shout out to Mo, and you guys can check out our New Japan Pro Wrestling podcast, Cast Strong Styles. We dropped a new episode this week, episode 5, where we are giving a review of the Wrestling Dontaku card, and we preview Best of the Super Juniors, and we also talk about the United States expansion of New Japan. So check that out. It's Miyamoto Dell, everything New Japan. Give a shout out to the Glow. Give a shout out to Jade and Keish and everybody that rocks with the Glow, Jupiter Julep, Queen Mel Mandy, everybody who every week religiously shows up for the hashtags SmackDown Matters, Rawcast. We appreciate y'all for rocking with the WrestleCast every week. And for Jay Trilla, for Magnum Prime, and for DD Jonay, I'm Don De Laurenti, and this has been the WrestleCast, episode 133.
What's so sweet, Batista? How heartwarming. You're back on SmackDown. Allow me to welcome you back on the show. Congratulations. Babies are smiling and the birds are chirping. The sky is clear because Batista is back. You like the fact Batista's back, huh? Yeah. Let me tell you what I think about you being back, Batista. I think that you make me sick. You're just like that other injury-prone loser, Edge. Pandering to these pathetic parasites. Begging for cheers from all of these hypocrites. Hoping for some kind of an award because you got injured and then you came back. Let me get something else through your Neanderthal thick skull. No matter what you may think, I am the true face of SmackDown, and everybody knows it. You see, a lot has changed since you've been gone. Because you've been gone a long time. And like I said, I am now the man on this show.
always told is to be the man, you gotta beat the man. And I know a lot has changed, and we're gonna have a chance to catch up. Because tonight, you've got a match against me.